everybody. This is William Devpilar. This is Fired Up. We are at election season. Voting, early voting has been going on for months, and Big Tuesday night is coming, and we are going to talk about what are some of the final issues here to deal with and to remind you of what is happening. And as always, I am here with my co-host, Mr. G. Mangani, and Miss Annette Ross. So, Mr. G., I take it off screen. You were telling us you had a football game with the little ones. When can we count on their vote?
You mean how, all three of their votes?
No. If we were Democrats.
Yeah. No, they seem to have a little conservative bent with them, but I don't push politics on my kids. So we'll see when time comes and they're old enough.
There you go. You know, my parents never pushed politics, but I saw growing up how important it was just because of the way they lived their lives in Panama. But Miss Annette, how about yourself? How's that daughter of yours? How's our favorite infamous daughter that we've never met?
I think someday you'll meet her. I'm pushing politics, you know. If they want me to help them pay the rent, then I guess they have to vote Republican.
There you go. You know, that's how it should be. You know, parents are they're like, oh, no, I'm hands-off with my kid in college. I'm like, then why are you whining when they come back to liberals, you know? It's like, on top of that, you're still paying the bill. I have a friend of mine whose daughter, she's very liberal now. And it's just, every parent's going to do it. But it irks me. I'm like, you whine about how liberal she's become, yet you're still paying the college debt off. Maybe you should transfer that to her. You know, let her, if that angers you, I can't do that. She's my kid. I'm like, just shut up. You know, I don't have mercy when it comes to the parents with kids and they whine about them being liberals. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Annette.
No, William, even if we turn one person, which could be my daughter, the things that I've learned on this show, I share with her some facts and she's always like, oh, really? So.
Yeah.
Facts sometimes. I have
an image for her.
Yeah.
I have an image for her later.
Oh, you do? Okay, great.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. It epitomizes what Democrats are doing. For the audience, if you haven't figured it out, yes, we are a conservative show, except for Miss Annette. She's a humanitarian who voted Obama twice.
No.
I'm kidding. I'm probably not.
She's in the middle of an election, so let's not spread that one.
Oh, gosh, I'm sorry. Yeah, that's right. I forgot about it. And real quick, Annette, for our San Diego audience, tell them why they should vote for you. Annette is running for the Rancho Santa Fe School Board.
I mean, I've done a great job. I really have. They should vote for me more than any other reason because I have been honest with them. I've been a really good listener to the community. They can count on me to be honest with them. They can count on me for my integrity no matter what. That doesn't mean I agree with them on every single thing, but I'm a good voice for them. I will always go to our superintendent with any of their needs and concerns. I will always be listening to their needs and concerns, and I have for over the past 4 years. Doesn't make me a perfect board member, but I'm extremely dependable and trustworthy, and I do think that's important. I think that's probably maybe one of the most important things.
Well, and you're right. It is. And a vote for Annette is actually a vote for the kids. You know, because our school boards are really, really hosed up in most parts. All right. Well, let's get to the show. We've got an exciting show. Tonight, guys, we're going to talk about the what are the three most important topics, which we have talked about already off and on. We're also going to talk about Democrats shooting themselves in the foot. Is that the proper way you say it, shooting themselves in the foot, or Democrats' beepers going off? The pissing it off. Y'all don't get that one. And then we're gonna have the beepers in Hamas, you know. Now, there was a big incident this week on CNN where an anti-Semite, you know, the guy was getting madder and madder because the guy's an anti-Semite, Mehdi Hassan, and he says something and the guy's aggravated. Well, yeah, good. Okay. I hope your beeper doesn't go off, you know, and then CNN,
the guy who said it about the beepers, he was a Polish, and the guy who he said it to told him you're a Nazi. And we all know what the Nazis did to Polish people. So That was actually arguably more offensive than the beeper joke.
Yeah, and that's what he said. He just got so pissed off. He says, all right, I'll do something snarky. And then he says he was apologizing because the host was trying to regain control. You know, I still don't like what he did. What he should have done was like, enough. You call us Nazis. You wish us dead. You've done this. You were fired from your last gig because you're so leftist. Stop with the nonsense. And that would have ended it. You know, but instead they let, they're too nice. They bring soft Republicans on there. You know, of course I would have probably been tossed off the show after the first minute. Anyway, so first of all, what's going into this election, people, to the audience out there, is kitchen politics. And I looked this up because I'm like, what is the origin of kitchen politics? Kitchen politics for the audience, because you don't hear it said a lot. And when you do, most probably won't get it anymore. It involves issues that are relevant to us everyday people. And we discuss them, whether it's on the couch, whether it's at friends, at barbecues or whatnot. But most of the time, it would be around the kitchen table. The mother and the father with the kids doing whatever. Honey, how are we going to pay the bill? Well, what about this bill, that bill? That's how it started in the 80s and 90s. And you have to remember, in the 80s when it started, we were just coming out of the Jimmy Carter recession. So paying your bill and that skyrocketing cost of energy was really big in people's minds. So a lot of times, and that's every time you hit a recession or tough economic times, that's when you hear the term kitchen politics. And the reason I'm bringing it up is this election, the three main topics going into this election, people, the economy/inflation. It's the economy, but the big thing with the economy right now is inflation with higher prices. Then there's immigration, you know, and then there's Miss Annette's issue in terms of our what she talks about a bit. And ironically, in my research, guys, I found Supreme Court attached to it a few times because of the fact that it's been three conservatives. You know, I didn't realize it really pissed Democrats that bad. So let's get right on into it. The economy and inflation. The economy remains a top concern for about 70% of these people, of Americans. And I've got a PowerPoint slide here. Right there, the economy. Oh, Big John's right. It's a little busy there. Economy. 70 to 80% of Americans are all concerned about it. That was from a YouGov and an AP North poll of registered voters. When this is more your domain, but when they took everybody in hand, it was in the 60s. But out of registered voters, which makes sense. If you're registering to vote, odds are you're registering to vote for a specific reason. What I found interesting was 84% of Trump supporters. That's a given. But what nobody's talking about is 57% of Harris supporters. These are people who are like, we don't like the way the economy's going. So that's nearly 60% of people who are Harris supporters, which tells me those are votes. Some of those votes can be flipped. Gee, what's your thought on this take in terms of the numbers there?
Yeah, I mean, it's a little surprising that the Harris side is that high, but I think they realize that the economy is not doing good. Today, the monthly job numbers came out. It was 12,000 jobs created for the month. That's the lowest since COVID, December 2020. And so... Yeah,
there's 350 million Americans in this country, and you're saying only 12,000. I mean, 12,000. Can you give us some kind of an analogy? I mean, since COVID, but historically, do you know how low that number is? It sounds very low.
Okay, so normally, just to keep up with immigration and birth rates, right, 18-year-olds graduating and entering the workforce, you need about 130,000, 140,000 jobs created every month just to keep the in pace with that, right? So when you're creating 12,000, you're really losing around 130,000 jobs. Now, I dug a little deeper into the numbers. Over the last year, we've lost 1 million private jobs. But I think over the last year, we've gained about, 500,000 jobs or something around that number, maybe a little more, which means they're all government jobs. That's what's going up. And it's at the state and local level. So, you know, manufacturing jobs are being lost, and whatever they try to do in the news, you probably saw the MSNBC clip where one of the contributors said basically, oh, well, the economy is dismal. I mean, it's not that dismal. Actually, it's better than what we think it is. Like, wait, what? The first thing out of your mouth is usually the truth. So I think people are losing their jobs, and no matter how much you go out there and campaign to the contrary, meaning Kamala, people are going to know I don't have a job right now, and they're going to vote accordingly.
So, Ms. Annette,
yep.
You've got girls in college.
Yep.
You've got an 11-year-old who you're safe for a few years of having to kick him out to go find a job. Have you seen any effect of this in your girls being able to find jobs or limited in jobs, or have you? What's your take on this whole job?
Well, I also have a lot of friends. I have two girls that are out of college. I help support both of them. Both with good jobs. I mean, you cannot make it in New York City. I mean, she's got an apartment, living with someone, living with two other girls actually, and I still supplement her. So she has a full-time job, and she was working a part-time job. Also, so she has a full-time job and a part-time job, and she still needs my help to make it in New York City. I know if you can make it there, you can make it anywhere. So, but I don't know many of my other friends, my age group, with their kids living out in, let's say, New York City or Chicago, that are not supporting them to some capacity, maybe not paying the entire monthly rent, but supplementing them. And I'll just say another thing that's sort of anecdotal, but not really, because I think my friend John went to maybe 250 houses, was canvassing again in another precinct in Pennsylvania, and said the very same thing that my daughter said. The people had gone from Kamala to Trump was all over the economy. So they went to people that were registered Democrats, many who had decided they were going to vote for Trump. What was their reason? The economy.
You know, James Carville, well, he is a bum of a human being, but one of the sharpest campaign manager in his day. And gee, what did he say? What did he tell us? His famous words.
It's the economy, stupid.
That is America. That is the Indian version of how James Carville said it.
It's the economy, stupid. That's the Indian version. Which, by the way, Kamala never tried that accent. I think if Kamala had actually tried the Indian accent, she might be ahead by 50 points in the poll.
She earned a goatee.
Oh, yeah. Big John's right. This is very busy. Before the audience, we're going to talk about it. Let's hit fuel. I want to start with you. We don't have to hit every one of them, but I wanted to post them up there. Fuel. They're feeling 10. This is the price increase. And when I researched it, I purposely went to topics that aren't within the, help me out. What do they call the index? You know, what the government uses. They don't use a lot. They don't use food. And that's one of the ways where we really feel it. Fuel, 10 to 15%, 30 to 40% is what they're feeling. Here's the kicker that people will understand. Diesel, 50%. Well, William, I don't drive diesel. Why the hell are you throwing that up there? Every produce you get that comes via a truck is probably using diesel fuel. Eggs, 70%. Beef and pork isn't as high as I thought it would be, but 25-35%. Medical, now that's medical, because I didn't have space, that's the copay. Your copay's gone up 30-50%. You know, your drugs have gone up 20-30%. You know, the rent, property taxes, electricity, 30-50%. There was a woman here in California, to the audience out there, over in the desert area. She had like a $1,300 electric bill. That's a combination of not just inflation, but how corrupt our states become. But it's just sky high. Water, sewage, 20-25%. So I said, gee, but let's start off with you, Annette, on this. New York City, California, and you're supplementing your daughters. I'm not saying that's a good or bad thing, but I would assume in New York City, they're seeing these similar type of rates. So at what point do you tell her, damn it, woman, stop voting Kamala and this could change? I'm teasing.
Well, I think her biggest disappointment was seeing how much was taken out of her check for taxes. And I said, maybe she's like, Mom, you've got to be kidding me that this much of my check is gone for tax. I said, well, maybe then you've got to think about how those people are spending your money. And you should care, because if those taxes are being taken out, someone else is deciding how they're going to be used. And do you agree with how they're going to be used? that has been more of the compelling, like, argument for her more than anything else. Like, the social issues, I can't get her there yet, William, but I can get her if we're talking about the taxes taken out of her check, because that makes her really mad. And then she's like, that's, I'm making some ground there.
Well, that's because that, you know, at the end of the day, I kind of view it the same way. That's how you got to get him economically. I am your classic story that you see in the movies or in the comedy. I really was, my first paycheck, who the bleep is FICA? I really was, because they never taught us how to balance a checkbook or any of that. You know, and I went to work after high school. I'm like, who's FICA? I mean, I knew FICA wasn't a real person, but I said, who's FICA? What's FICA? I said, Dad, what's FICA? He goes, son, welcome to the world of taxes. That's all he said, and he walked away. I'm like, well, who the hell's FICA? Yeah. So, yes, that's a good way to hit him. Gee, your thoughts on this fuel, food, housing, internet? I think that's the best way to reach your daughter, because at the end of the day, abortion is an issue, but if they're not pregnant, you know, that's something they can put to the side for a battle later on down the road. They're getting hit every 2 weeks with those taxes. And from Big John, our producer, for many liberals, the seminal event that turns them into conservatives is the first paycheck. Big John, you are absolutely correct. I don't know if that's what did it for me, but at that age, I still wanted to save the world as a young kid. Then I got my first paycheck. Said, the world be damned, they can save themselves. Mr. G, what's your take?
Well, so, you know, I'll go back to just the basic economic principle of demand and supply. So if you have more people in the country, but you have the same supply of goods, the prices are going to go up. And that's going to happen, especially if you bring in, I believe it's somewhere around 10 to 15 million people have been flown in or across the border. And a good number of those people are given our tax money. That paycheck, that number that came out of that paycheck is going to them to help them to afford what they need to. But now they have money they didn't actually produce any goods for. So they're going to go out there and spend it on food. They're going to spend it on electricity. They're going to spend it on gasoline. And the prices are going to go up. So the reason why Kamala can't say this is because she wants to open borders. So she's not going to destroy what she's done in the last 4 years with that argument, right? So I think people are fed up with the rising prices. I see why it's happening. I think a lot of conservatives see why it's happening, but I think a lot of conservatives don't understand why it's happening. And Trump's hit it on the head from the first day he's campaigned in this cycle. It's about immigration, open borders. Too many people coming in, too much money, the same number of goods, and you're going to have higher prices.
Oh, yeah. Ms. Annette, you know, one of the things for your daughter with the taxes, $5 billion just this past year went to illegals. And they were getting on average about $5,000 a month, about $2,000 more than the average person who's getting help from the government. And those taxes are going to help them when they're not improving the roads. You know, they're not helping with the sanitation.
The rats are. Yeah. I mean, she does get fired. Talk about getting fired up. She gets fired up when she thinks how she's working two jobs.
Yeah.
And
I read an article about 3 or 4 years. Actually, that's not true. I read an article about 2018 when Trump was running the first time, 2016, 17. And it said it was about New York City and living in New York. And they said, yeah, it's a minimum of 3 kids. It's like, you know, how everybody has the saying, they have their bright eyes. They want to go live in a big city. In New York City, on average, it took 3 kids to come together to be able to afford an apartment in New York City. So when you said 3, I found that was not very surprising. Back in my day, I didn't live in a big city, but getting a roommate was like, well, hey, want to be a roommate to help offset? And it wasn't even a necessity. I mean, it just made life easier for more party money in New York City. Oh, no, you don't want to be on the street. I can't remember.
Well, we did that here in San Diego, too.
But, William, yeah. for a box, not for a doorman, not for
exactly.
It's a dicey neighborhood, and it's a tiny, tiny space of a – my daughter's actually went to visit her, said to me, Mom, how are you letting Anna live like that? I'm like, what? How bad is it, you know? But, yeah, it's not the lap of luxury.
But, you know, I don't mean to get on you as a parent. I'm not. I say, but it's actually good. What happens is, when a parent keeps, I have a friend of mine who passed away recently. God bless him. I loved him to death. We kind of went our own separate ways, but I think part of the issues he had down the road was his parents subsidized his whole life. Mm-hmm. And, and even as a, when I was in his age, in my mid-20s, I started to understand the concept. Okay, Mom, I see why you were like this or like this. And it wasn't because I was learning the lessons. It's because I was seeing the results of kids who were loved too much. I don't want to say spoiled, because spoiled's kind of a derogatory bad term. Yeah, you spoiled it, but said it in a bad, mean way. It's just most parents don't realize you're not helping your kid by paying every bill. They get accustomed to that, and that's becomes part of their life. And to the child, there's a great book you should read, The Millionaire Next Door, where it talks about that. Once you get accustomed to that, you have your kid. All of a sudden, grandpa, grandma, you know, we think we'd like them to go to this school here. And you're kind of stuck because you become accustomed to grandma, you know, to your parents' money. Anyway, I'm digressing, so I apologize. Any final comments here on the housing, utilities, or healthcare in terms of any of that?
No, I mean, just even the housing, just to talk about that a little bit. So we have 16 million illegal immigrants that have come in, or maybe now they're legal because of that iPhone app where you can get legal in just 20 seconds. Those people have to live somewhere. And we have 4 million units housing shortage in this country. So if you divide those 16 million to families of four, there's your housing shortage right there. Is the 4 million right there. So, you know, if Trump actually wins and deports some amount of them, our housing shortage problem starts to get minimized and people can afford homes again because those prices will drop.
Correct. And so that's a good segue into Kamala is offering, as part of her campaign plan, $25,000 in down payment support for first-time homeowners. And again, though, how much is that going to help? And as you were talking about these illegal aliens coming in here in California, they tried to get a bill passed where they would get help being able to get homes ahead of the citizen. So it's really become a mess. She also talks about a federal ban on corporate price gouging, raising the minimum wage, expanding tax credits for families and tax small businesses. That one I'm not totally against, depending how it's done. Whereas Donald Trump to me, see, Kamala to me is using a magician, using mirrors, smoke and mirrors. She's saying the traditional politician platitudes, because both sides use those same platitudes she's using for tricks. But I'm thinking about Trump. He's like, yeah, we're going to be energy independent. I'm going to get tax cuts in. I'm going to eliminate regulations. The only thing I question on, because Big John and I fight over this, but I'm not 100% tariffs. I'm into surgical tariffs strikes, an example being how the Chinese flooded the market with solar and made companies go under, and it was subpar quality. They were destroying a whole industry. That's not free market. It's not free market, no matter what anybody says. But the first three, energy independence, you know, let them frack away. Let the natural gas flow. Get that pipeline done. You know, the tax cuts. There was a time when we were children. Remember with all the politicians, tax cuts. Now it's like, we're going to raise taxes to take care of you. Do you see the oxymoron in that? That's the right word. And then regulations. Mr. G, we'll go with you. First of all, the difference is when you see those two plans from those two opponents, toss out your party affiliation. As an economist, what do you see when you hear those two?
Well, I see with Kamala Harris's thing, that's a very small segment of society that she's targeting, right? And she makes it sound like everyone's going to benefit. Well, the $25,000 down payment, it's for first-time home buyers. So that's a small segment of people who can afford a home and are currently looking. Federal ban on corporate price gouging, that's not happening right now. She doesn't understand why food prices are up. So, she's out in outer space on this. Raising the minimum wage, I mean, maybe she'll get some headway with that because, you know, $7 an hour, and that's like less than 1% of the country is making that. And expanding tax credits for families. I mean, you're talking, I believe it was for families with one-year-old babies. Again, a small segment. Businesses, that's a $50,000 tax deduction. Well, tax deduction means you have to make a profit in order to deduct. So in the end, that's about $10,000 in a small business's back pocket if they make a profit. So these are very minute things, which I think she just thinks, okay, well, again, her bad advisors sat around their kitchen table and came up with this. So Donald Trump, energy independence, drill, probably the Keystone Pipeline will start happening. Eliminate regulations where people, you know, government officials, just to get the stamp on your approval stamp on your papers, will charge you thousands of dollars, right, to look over your thing for 10 minutes. That will help reduce costs for businesses. And this is like broad-based tax cuts. It affects everybody. It's not like this little segment of society. So, you know, yeah, I'm a conservative. Objectively speaking, is Donald Trump's plan that would make more sense.
Okay, before you go to Donald Trump, I want you to go to Donald Trump real quick. But how? I mean, I got to be honest. As a layman, I'm like 25,000 at home in California or New York. I'm like, yeah, how far is that going to go? You know.
Well, actually, home prices will go up. I mean, 25,000 is the new zero, right? So. I mean, if everyone so I think inflation started when they started handing out stimulus checks. And to be fair, Donald Trump handed out the first one. And then Biden handed out two others. And then you have all this money sloshing around, but people are at home because they're told to be at home and there aren't enough goods being made and all this money sloshing through. So people are like, hey, Bitcoin to the moon. So that's why these prices have gone up, because everyone feels wealthy.
I get that. So, real quick, what are the positives here on Donald Trump's, his energy independence, tax cuts, regulations? To me, they sound like common sense. Am I looking at this wrongly?
No, not at all. Energy independence, if we can get fuel down low enough, because we drill locally and we can start affecting the price of oil, that will help us a lot. But I think one of the, incredible things that I think he promised was 15% corporate tax rate for businesses that do all their manufacturing onshore here in America.
Yeah, that's right.
Otherwise,
otherwise
you're paying the 21%. So that's going to incentivize companies to say, hey, yeah, it costs more to hire Americans, but we'll get a lower tax rate. So again, it's like broad-based. It will affect everyone because all corporations can benefit from that, and they pass on the savings to consumers.
Makes sense to me.
Can I ask a question about that? Yeah, because I was watching did you see the Joe Rogan interview with Donald Trump?
Yeah. I watched about half of it.
The part where he says tariffs, and that's a beautiful word. So is that what you're talking about right now?
No.
Why is that? Why is that a beautiful word? What is he? How will that be helpful for our economy?
Well, okay. So I don't believe in tariffs.
Oh,
I believe in free trade.
Okay.
But I also believe in fair trade. So if other countries are imposing tariffs on our goods, we should impose tariffs on their goods, right?
Correct.
So
I'm not doing that.
I mean,
I'm with G on that.
Yeah,
I'm with G on that. But that has to be done very surgically, and you have to limit it. You can't use it as a bludgeon. See, that's the difference between me and, say, a libertarian or other Republicans. It's kind of like, for example, we were going to raise taxes here locally for a fire, but we were going to get rid of the Cal Fire tax. The Republicans all came in, no new taxes. I'm like, you don't know the situation, so shut that bleep up. But we still lost, because people were too ignorant to look at the bigger picture. And that's how odd this works. All right. So let's keep moving here. Ms. Annette, did you have any comments on
I have one general comment. It's very, very brief, but I always listen very attentively to all of our shows, and I just want to say something that G said many, many shows ago that I've seen true time and time again. How when Kamala is speaking about her plans for our economy and her plans for our nation as president, and she's speaking something that she doesn't really believe, she doesn't really know how to say it. Right, G, you said that. She doesn't sound convincing. She doesn't sound convicted. And then sometimes she will sound passionate about something, and you're listening to what she's saying, you're like, oh, that's how she really feels. Right?
But you only know that. Because she's not passionate or doesn't speak on actual details of issues and facts and policies. If she gets real passionate, they gotta put you on the chains, people. That's when she gets passionate. She blathers. It's easy to get passionate and get all riled up when you're just spouting mantras. And Big John here states that Milton Friedman proved that unilateral tariffs were still more beneficial than tariffs. We could be here all day arguing.
Oh, yeah, just was curious. Tariffs, so. Didn't mean to get us
no, 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 not you. No, you're talking about, but, so let's keep moving here, though. The immigration, and I want to be brief on the immigration.
Yes.
On immigration here, it's, 61% of voters support border controls. 91% are Republicans. 59% are Democrats. Mm-hmm. Again, this to me is why Kamala flipped. Why she said, I'm for tough borders. And then she keeps going back to that bill that was about as tough as I don't know the analogy. It was not very tough at all, though. So, G, we'll start back with you again. Since immigration, you have a big hand on that, along with the Springfield residents up there. So, 61% of voter support, that's combined. So that's more than half the country. It's a winning issue for Trump. 60% of Democrats want stronger. When I researched this, I specifically was like, is this mean that they want stronger borders? And that was what my research came up with. Yeah. So your thoughts on this?
Yeah. I mean, I want to say 100% of Republicans, and I think 99% of Democrats don't want them eating dogs or cats. So let's just make sure that that's settled right there. But no, seriously, I think people realize it's a problem, right? The news articles or news stories about women getting assaulted and murdered, even the 13-year-old I saw some security cam video of her walking around and then you know she was gone and saw the guy who was chasing her or following her. I mean, it was just sad to see. And so if we're having
I'm sorry, G. You're talking about that video from Florida?
Yeah, I believe so. I forget her name.
Yeah, where she caught the cops? Oh, Annette, you would have cried. I mean, G, and I mean, that was tough to listen. That poor woman, it was horrific to hear her anguish, her pain. It's one of those things. That kind of
13-year-old, right?
Hit you.
Was that?
I don't know how she
was. Wasn't that a commercial though? A Trump ad?
I wouldn't be shocked if they put it out. I mean, what happened was the cops, she was smart enough where she was able to call the cops somehow and say what was happening. And they were able to track her down to the phone.
Yes.
And the guy was on top of her. But you could hear her anguish. I mean, it was the anguish of somebody who thought there was no way out. She was going to get raped and possibly killed. I can't imagine going through that. So hearing that, it just sends that chill. Whoever the father is of that daughter, he was probably a blithering fool at that moment in time here. And I'm sorry, Jay, I didn't mean to cut off. But if you guys have not seen or heard that, you need to track that video down. It's devastating. The reason I say you have to track it down is that's what a lot of women are going through. And let me tell you something as a Latino. There is a bad side of the machismo in our culture.
Yeah. And Lakin Riley, I mean, I just heard about her story and, you know, a boulder being used to disfigure her face completely or her head and all that. I mean, and so people know that there's something wrong, right? And we've talked about this before. Aurora, Colorado, you've got the Hell's Angels and the Bloods and Crips uniting to drive out the Venezuelan gangs from those apartment complexes. Yeah. We know something's wrong, and we can't be the place where everyone can come and just take advantage of our system. And they get free health care and all that, which drives up costs for us, right? If they have to treat 30 people who don't pay in the evening in the emergency room, they have to spread out that cost because they still use up supplies and labor and all that to the rest of us. So I think people do see it. I'm surprised the Democrat percent is so low.
Me too.
I mean, what are the other 41% thinking?
They're not.
The 9% of Republicans, what are they thinking?
You know what? Let me tell you something, G. I know some of those. I told this to Big John on his show last night. Some of those are in the military. Hey, it's election time. What's up? Well, who should I vote for? You know, they're clueless because we get that regular check, you know. So, guys, I did find a video. And then before we go to you, we've talked about it so much. Let's let me share it here.
Hey.
You're trying to rape me. Can you help
get off
me?
Her now.
Help me.
Get off
all
her
right,
now.
Give
us
the channel.
Oh, God. Thank you.
Don't you move. Don't you move.
Come here. Come here. Thank you. Come here. You good? 21 Central Clear Channel.
Thank you.
We're good. We're here. We're here. We're here. We're here. We're here. I got a mail secure.
He said he raped me.
Copy of Florida tag, please.
Oh, he's thinking, oh.
And when you watch the video.
She would have been a goner if they hadn't shown up.
You can hear the anger. And maybe we made it sound worse than it is, but not to her. You can hear that. It's like if she's not shrieking at the top of her lungs, but you can just hear that anguish. There's a woman in that. When you, as a woman and a mother, when you, and gee, I want to give you next as a father, but as a woman and as a mother, I mean, what was going through your mind? To me, it was just the tone of her fear that just sent chills on my back.
Yeah, she was desperate. She sounded desperate. Anyone who's crying out to God like that, I don't know. I'm sure she, I don't even know what to say. That is so upsetting. That was not what I was referring to earlier, but, no, I hadn't seen that.
That just happened. That happened 2 weeks ago.
Yeah,
right?
that happened last week. Yeah, I want to say last week or 2 weeks ago. But the cops were there.
How did those guys?
She was smart enough to have her phone on or hit 911 or something, and they were able to track her. But the cops are walking there. The guy's still on top of her. I mean, they're like, get off her, get off. It's like, gee, you're right. I think she felt her life was over. That's what I got out of the anguish. I mean, the cops are there. And she's just still like in shock. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. She sounded like we're shocked. Gee, when you see that as a father, what are your thoughts?
I mean, that's terrible. I mean, as a father, as a human being, like no one should hurt anybody else. And you know, Trump was talking about protecting the women, right, from external threats like this. And of course, the Democrats had to twist that around into he's going to do stuff to women whether they like it or not. But he was really saying that he wants to prevent stuff like this from happening. So whether they like it or not, he wants to put policies in place to protect women because they're the primary victim of assaults. I mean, males can be as well, but women, by and large, are the bigger percentage. Terrible.
No, I agree.
Terrible to watch that video.
That's why there's a vetting process. If people just want to blow the vetting process, it's like homeless. They think of the homeless as these nice old hobos that just need their little bit of break, you know? I'm sorry, Annette, you were going to say something.
No, I was just going to say that I thought Trump's best ad to date, I don't know if you guys saw it, but it was about a situation like this, but the girl was killed by illegals. Did you see it? She's like a 13-year-old girl. That's why I thought maybe it was the same, but you see the mother in the video and it tells the story. She went to her room. The daughter wasn't there. And I thought to myself, anyone who sees this is the best, you know, reason to vote for him. Anyone who sees this, if they are not moved to take action and understand that this is really a crisis that is happening with the open borders. I mean, I've seen this a few times now. I don't know. You guys haven't seen it, so I don't know how prevalent it is out there. But for me, it was to date the most compelling ad that he has to vote for him, in my opinion.
Yeah, you know, the Democrats are the worst when they go. They're the first ones to scream, every life matters. Every life matters. And then when I go, it matters here. Well, why does it matter in other instances, William? I go, because none of these people should be here without a vetting process and going through the normal channels. This could have been 100% avoided.
Well, yes.
Had that happened. You know, well, maybe not 100% statistically. Nothing's ever some number like that. But 99.9%, you know? You know, at the end of the day, when you vet, I mean, the cartels, the gangbangers, you know. See, people didn't know when Trump said this coming down about Mexicans. He shouldn't have said Mexicans. He should have said illegals. I knew exactly what he was talking about. You know, in Panama, we see it in reverse because Costa Rica, Panama, there's no border. So you get your influx of immigrants through Panama, too, you know. And so this is what they're talking about. William, it's such a small percentage. Well, let me take your daughter down there and just say, go at it. And see how you like it, Mika. See how you like it, Kamala.
William, why isn't part of the question that I know it's maybe not political at all, but why are people behaving like animals? Why is that happening?
Because we are, that's a beautiful question, and here's why. At our core, we are no different than animals. We're taught to be good. At our core, we're survivors. As a mother, you'll do everything to protect your daughter or your son. Damn the consequences. That's a survival trait. You know, you're going to get food, etc. We're actually taught to be good. So if a man has not been taught to be good and to take what he wants, he wants that woman, he's going to take it. These professional athletes, Big John and I were in the business of John was fantasy sports. I did all the sports there, but you learn the same thing. When you're never told no, don't get shocked when you hear of an athlete having his way with a woman or doing what he wants, because they're never told no, so they can't accept no. They're bigger. They're stronger. That's why I loathe Hollywood teaching a 90-pound woman you can take a 300-pound man. No, you're going to get your ass beat, then raped. Run. Call the cops. You know, take your mace. The great equalizer to any man is what? Well, not a .357. That's too big of a gun, but a gun, you know? So it's because it's in our DNA. Since the dawn of time, and that the strong have taken from the weak, right or wrong, since the dawn of time, the Assyrians, one of the first civilizations, when they went and took over a village and during war, they would rape, pillage, and kill everybody that was not part of their culture, their tribe. It's since the dawn of time that has been the case. That's
why. Do you think we've become more civilized over time?
As a whole, yes. We're taught, but you're thinking, see, don't fool yourself. America is just one country out of 300. There's a reason there's still child labor in the Congo and using children to mine cobalt, and in other African nations using children to for diamond mines. There's a fear, and I say Africa, that's where I read about it most, when you get these revolutionaries coming in and to subjugate the village, whack off arms, kill the men. You know, in Panama, one of my heroes growing up was beheaded by the government to take his enemy out. No, we have the capacity to become civilized, but don't let technology fool you with the savagery that is in us. I'm a big cold case fan, those murder mysteries, that some of these, even to this day, I'm like, oh my God, because you don't picture the savagery that we are capable of. I used to tell my wife, if it wasn't for God and my mom, I was a 10-year-old kid, went home after I got bullied, grabbed a knife, and I'm chasing them down to stab it. If it wasn't for my mom beating me and her teaching me and instilling me values, who knows? I could be in jail because I would have been an idiot, you know? But that is a trait that is taught to us. G, any comments on that? I know I came on kind of hard on that, but that's just how I see it.
No comments.
All righty, let's move to another travesty where I'm serious. Abortion. I believe a woman has a choice, but the way it's like 23 abortions and counting, wearing proudly on their T-shirts, abortions at conception. You know, the reason I bring that up is I want to show this image here. But real quick, and while I pull that up, it's become a central issue in 2024. I know you talk about your daughter a lot in the sense of how she's committed to it. What do you think? I think it's a done deal. I don't think Trump's going to change any minds. But if Trump could change some minds, what would be your take? Or what are your thoughts in essence that 30, it's really the big issue for women under 30?
Well, I think that that was the only thing that they talked about on CBS Sunday Morning, Kamala and Norah O'Donnell. And Norah O'Donnell was trying to ask her, do you agree with any restrictions, like a certain month? Or she would not commit to anything. She said, wow. But nothing. And she asked her several times in several different ways. She tried to say, well, okay, I get that. I understand that you're pro-choice. But I just want to hear what your, you know, parameters are. Do you have any sort of like, okay, this is where this is where my restrictions are. This is like where I'm not comfortable with it anymore. And she would commit to nothing. She would not say anything. She was like, I want there to be, as soon as I'm in office, I'm going to like do some sort of a presidential, I don't know what you would even want to call it. Right. And it's going to be like a law.
Executive order.
She
implies the executive order. She does not have that power. So here's the,
she said that.
Here's the point. Well, yeah, she's saying a lot of things that aren't true. For example, I'm going to sit there and she's going to codify Roe versus Wade. That's the right word. Is it a codify? Turn it into law.
Yeah.
She's going to codify. She's not going to get that in Congress because it's such a volatile issue. And the only hope she has is through doing away with the filibuster. But this is what angers me about the left. This Nicholas Kristof, he's a Pulitzer Prize winner for the New York Times. Multiple Pulitzer Prize winner, which to me just shows you how pathetic that award has become. Not to mention there's bad history with Pulitzer himself. A struggling Nevada mom suffers a miscarriage. Then the police show up and arrest her for manslaughter, and she's sentenced to 2.5 to 8 years of prison. Only when a pro bono lawyer steps up and appeals does the judge reverse the conviction and set her free to return to her children. Well, that judge was wrong. And it turns out she was a meth head while pregnant. Not only with the odds of her kid being messed up already once it was born because she was a meth head. Man, that's just exponentially when they told us don't smoke when you're pregnant. Her baby was well past viability. The baby was dead. The autopsy said it was 28 to 32 weeks. She admitted she did it to kill the baby. You know, and law enforcement believes the baby was alive and then killed. And to make it worse, this was in 2018, well before Roe versus Wade was overturned. And my point to you, Annette, is not to pick on your daughter again, but this is what your daughter hears. She doesn't hear the part the readers added context. She hears what he says. And if you're a woman and you're hearing this from a two-time Pulitzer Prize winner who's a so-called journalist, of course you're going to go, oh, my God. What are we doing in this country? But then when the truth is revealed, it's a much different story. This is, I mean, how do we combat that? G, go to you, then we'll have the last word.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's a line for everybody, right? And it bothers me when Tim and Kamala can't articulate where their line is. And, you know, good people can disagree, right? Some people draw the line right at conception. I mean, there are some radicals who draw it, like, even with birth control. Like, no, you can't get rid of the seed or whatever and prevent that from happening. But, you know, some people go the other way and have their line at, you know, 5 minutes after birth, you can still abort. I mean, that, you know, that's really radical. So for Tim and Kamala not to be able to articulate where their line is, is disturbing. Now, to be fair, I don't know where Trump's line is, but it's clearly not all the way there, right? So we kind of know that his line is probably over, you know.
Oh, hold on, G. I want to interrupt you there. He has drawn a line. It's in the state's hand.
Okay, well,
that
right.
is the line. It's like, right. I'm in the federal government. I'm running as president. I have nothing to do with that. It's in the state's hands. And right. I believe that's a line because – if I was running for president, that would be mine. That's as somebody who isn't a lawyer, who doesn't always understand all the Constitution, I understood that enough to go, that's a state's issue.
Right.
That's why I tell pro-lifers, look, you better figure out how to fight this battle differently, because every bill you guys that have gone up to vote, Ohio as an example, doesn't just get defeated. It goes down in flames. And while I don't like that, that's where the battle belongs. So right. I think do you disagree with that? I mean, don't you think that's a line in a way?
I do, but I meant his like personal moral line, right? That's what I was referring to. Now I know he's pro-choice, but I don't know where that line is, right? Is it 12 weeks, 24 weeks, or whatnot?
See, that's the, to me, guys, that's to me
but
where,
you're right. it doesn't matter
because he's supposed to represent both pro-life and pro-choice. And by doing the right thing legally, in a way, it's brilliant. He's managed to wash his hands. The problem is Democrats keep making it an issue and Republicans don't know how to handle that issue.
Here's where I agree with you. Kamala wants to do something nationwide, right? So she wants to impose something on all of us. So it's fair for us to know where she's drawing that line personally.
Yes.
Is it
yes.
5 minutes after birth, you know, after 9 months, right? So I think it's fair to ask her of that, where it doesn't matter what Trump thinks because he's just left it up to each individual state. So I do agree with you there.
You know, I was pretty proud of Ronald Reagan in that. I don't know if it's true, but I read it or somebody told me that when he signed the abortion bill, he goes, I am against this, but this is what the people of California have either voted for or have demanded. And I, as governor, have to respect that decision. Because as much as I loathe it, you become a dictator, quasi-dictator, when you go against the people. I mean, at times you can't sit there and the people want to nuke a country. You can't go, okay, let's go nuke them. You know, but you get my point, though. What are your thoughts on this? And from what G was talking about with Kamala, Trump, states issues, what's your overall thoughts?
Well, I'm going to take your advice, William, with what you just said about how people can be savage. I think if you ever read the book Candide by Voltaire, he basically says that Candide is facing all these big existential crises and finally comes to the conclusion that he must tend his own garden. And I think we're a culture of death. I don't see that changing unless, like what you said, we do a good job with the children that we do have and trying to raise them well and to think about things and to respect life and to have a value system and to be able to try to have a moral system that matters enough to them inside of them innately, that they're in touch with their conscience. And if we can't do that, we can't raise a society like that, then I only see these situations becoming more and more egregious. That's why, like you said, the savage was basically beat out of you by your mother. Okay, well, I can tell you what, my liberal daughter, maybe she's Mrs. Pro-Life or pro-choice, maybe. But I'm telling you right now, she would never, ever have an abortion. No. She really believes in someone's, you know, safe legal rare. She believes it should be a choice for a woman. She's very scared of the whole like Handmaid's Tale. You know, she gets very scared of this idea that might be real, might be in literature. I don't know, but I know her well enough to know that would be something that would be very hard for her to do. Maybe in fact impossible for her to do, even though she would want that choice to be there and to exist. So my point to you is, like, I think that your mom beat the savage out of you. I believe I look at each one of those girls as the one thing that God has asked me to do is, you know, train them up in the way they will go and to do my very best to impart some sort of a conscience in them. And so they will be gentle people. They will be loving people. They will do something, like, they will be in the world, you know, the light of the world, the salt of the earth. I mean, I believe I try to do that. I hope God has done that for me. What else can we do? Otherwise, where are we going? We're already at such a low bar. I don't know how else we can combat. Even the law, William, is not going to be enough, though.
Because you know why? And I hate to say this because it brings up so many. How dare you go down that road? We need a little God in our lives.
I think so.
A little spirituality. All right. So let's move on. It's funny how you said we need to be the salt of the earth. And the first thing I thought of is in our era, we're more closer to Sodom and Gomorrah when she looks back and turns into a salt.
Yes,
that's what we're closer to right now. Okay, let's have a little fun here. So we're going to go a little bit over an hour. This is the fun part here. The Democrats, you can't make this up. They just keep putting their foot in their mouth. First of all, I have to show my wonderful, beautiful collage I made up with the leading man here. Oops, my notes.
What?
You know, you see what Biden said? He put a damn baby's foot in his mouth today. Today you're Yeah. It's like a bad porn movie. You know? And then so we're going to talk about Biden with the garbage. We're going to talk about Debbie. I call her, she's Representative Dingle. I call her Representative Dingleberry. There's Kamala, Mark Cuban, and Whoopi. Whew, I had to really find a picture that didn't take up the whole picture with Whoopi. Wow, she's let herself go. Yeah. But, so every one of those people put their foot in their mouth. So I don't want to dwell too long on it, but I want to get your thoughts on it. First of all, we are going to go to Miss Annette first again here. I want to hear your thoughts on this, senorita.
You never see him around strong, intelligent women, ever. It's just that simple.
Thoughts, Miss Annette?
I mean, I can't, I'm sorry, but I don't even take him seriously at all. So, I mean.
The man's a self-made businessman and multi-billionaire. He is Shark Tank, lady.
I know he's Shark Tank. I know he's Shark Tank. I mean, and I know. Okay, but that's not, to me, that's, you know, the fact that you can make a lot of money, that's not, that doesn't really, that doesn't impress me much, to quote whatever song that is. And it's not true. He's around, Trump is around a lot of very intelligent and very bright women. So, I mean, it's just, what is he, by the way, who is Kamala around? Beyonce? But seriously, I mean, She's around
Tim Walz's wife right now. Tim, who wants tampons in bathrooms so kids can read better.
So, yeah, no, I just, you know what? I guess because I dismiss him and pretty much everything he says.
Okay, no, I get that. So, here's some names. I'm sure you'll agree they're all strong, but I want to get your name over one woman I ran across, Linda McMahon. I did not realize she's the woman you never see. You always see her husband, Vince McMahon, but she helped form the company. She was CEO and president of that company. She did a lot. That company went from, if y'all don't know wrestling, you don't know how small. Wrestling was regional, meaning you go to the South, they'd have their own little region of wrestling. You go to the Northeast, you go, John, Big John, our producer, if you want to jump in and have fun, we're going to have fun the rest of the segment. But Big John's a big wrestling fan. But Linda McMahon is Big John. Can have been. Big John wrote the first computer game for wrestling with Sergeant Slaughter's Mat Wars. Big John was a programmer.
Watch wrestling. I mean, this is exactly the whole.
Hold on. What is your favorite television show?
Big John's?
No, yours.
Do you mean? I don't really
for
watch
entertainment. What do you watch for entertainment?
My favorite movies, movie.
Whatever. Yeah, there you go. What's your favorite movie?
Probably like. You've Got Mail. and
wrestling is just as real as that movie is your favorite. It's entertainment. See, that's what gets me. I always poke fun with people. People love the – back in the day when I watched wrestling, I was finishing my era watching wrestling. Bill Cosby was popular. They rag away. You like wrestling? Blah, blah. I go, you like Cosby? She's like, yeah, it's a pretty good show. Wrestling's just as real. Big John, tell us about Sergeant Slaughter's Mat Wars. Well, first of all, tell them who Sergeant Slaughter was, a great patriot.
So Sergeant Slaughter was one of the more popular wrestlers, I would say, from the late 70s into the mid-90s. Great guy. His real name is Robert Remus. At one point, he went from being – so in the early 90s, his caricature was used in the G.I. Joe cartoons. He became the living G.I. Joe was how he was billed. Actually, it was funny. Coming out of college, I had written a board game, you know, like a role-playing game for pro wrestling. And just by dumb luck, we were sitting next to Sergeant Slaughter at a Yankees game. And we started talking to him. My friend Ken, who I was the scientist of the group, the computer guy, you know, and all that. My friend Ken was the MBA student. So he was the business guy, the marketer and everything. And as soon as he saw Sergeant Slaughter, he saw dollar signs. And we just talked to him for 9 innings. And basically, we told him, like, give us a call next week. He ended up being licensing his image to our game. So And then we sold our game to Activision. They made one of the first computer games based on it. And as a matter of fact, I was watching his biography on A&E a couple of weeks ago, and in the middle of it, he just pulls out from his collectible chest a copy of our game, and he said, "You know, I'm proud to have the first computer game, Sergeant Slaughter's Mat Wars." And I was like, "Oh, cool! You know, he still has it."
Hold on, John. Tell him how you wrestled. Didn't you actually get to wrestle at an event?
Not wrestle. I got to manage him. Like one day, we were following around some of the Northeast, and we always used to have a joke because in wrestling, I don't know if you realize this, there's a rule that says the announcers and the managers can't be above a certain size because then they detract from the imagery of how big a wrestler is, especially in the old days, not so much now. So I'm 6'3". Sergeant Slaughter 6'5". He didn't want anybody nearly as tall as he was standing next to him. So I would have to stand in the back while he was out signing autographs and signing copies of the game and everything. But we were in Poughkeepsie one time, and his real life partner, because he was on the independent circuit, was out that day. So he just said, John, you told me you wrestled in high school and college. I said, yeah. He goes, all right, let's get you in the ring. Just a couple of fireman's carries, and that's about it.
Real quick. High school and college is not wrestling like what Sergeant Slaughter.
Right.
Go ahead.
Wait, is it like, no, John, is it like those boys that they just did that movie about who died? Is that what you mean by wrestling?
No, I mean like the stuff you see on Monday nights and, you know, the
like caricature Hulk Hogan, wrestling. Like Hulk Hogan. Hulk Hogan.
Like wrestling. Hulk Hogan, yeah.
So it is like those boys from Texas. They did that show on all
the. Oh, you're talking about the Von Erichs.
The Von Erichs, but yeah.
That's
the
wrestling.
Iron Claw. Yeah, that wrestling. Yeah.
That's wrestling
from the South. Yeah. So yeah, and actually kept in touch with them for a while. Met some of the other wrestlers there too, and at one point we were really starting to get along because we had the only real pro wrestling game, and. That led to meeting a lot of the other wrestlers, getting in on the secrets and the lingos, which was always fun, you know, and for someone who grew up a fan, it was just, you know, it was like a dream come true, you know, so. Yeah. But and I can honestly say that I'm, one of the people that he put to sleep with his famous cobra clutch in real life. Like he actually, a lot of people don't realize it's fake, it's staged. But a lot of those guys, especially the old timers, now they're all bodybuilders. But back then, you never broke what's known as kayfabe. So you never let anyone outside the industry know about your secrets, right? So all those old wrestlers, like Vince McMahon is famous because he got sued for this. Anytime someone challenged a pro wrestler, hey, wrestling is fake or you're not that tough or anything like that, they were told by their promoters, make sure you put that guy in the hospital. Don't worry about the legal bills. I'll take care of it. If anybody sues you, we'll cover you because it's more important to protect the business. So John Stossel, the reporter for ABC, famously walked up to this one wrestler in Madison Square Garden and said, I think this is all fake. You know, and he was putting his microphone in the face. And the guy on orders from Vince McMahon basically said, oh, yeah, well, see how fake this is, and slapped him across the head. Then when Stossel got up, he slapped him across the other ear, and Stossel sued hundreds of thousands of dollars because he claimed he lost hearing in one of his ears from one slap.
Well, here's the story for that. Here's the lie about that. I used to respect John Stossel, and I still do, but not in this case. All the doctors, oh, you're fine. Turns out the doctor that said, no, he has damage, is his brother.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm like, so what are the odds, you know? I'm like, so I lost a lot of respect for Stossel.
And Hulk Hogan, the late Richard Belzer had him on his show, and he was making fun of him. Richard Belzer used to be one of these sardonic comics.
Oh, I forgot about that.
And
if you watch
Law and Order.
But the one before Law and Order, the set in Baltimore.
I know which one. Yeah, they had a crossover. That was a life.
His character went to Law and Order. He was on Law and Order. He played the UFO book. So, guys, we have really digressed. So,
didn't
but real quick, though.
Really quickly, though, didn't Trump just have Hulk Hogan at one of his rallies?
Yeah.
Yes,
Madison Square Garden.
Because wrestling is just as popular as any. You get the most expensive TV show made. Wrestling with its setup can beat it in ratings. It's entertainment. It brings out the book in you. Oh man, John and I don't watch it anymore. But John and I will talk, and I'll bring up all these old wrestlers. And what John means by what's the term?
Kayfabe.
He means you don't leave your character. You are that mean guy. So when I was in seventh grade or eighth grade, I went to my friend's house. He was all pissed off. Wrestling's fake, man. And I'm like, what happened? He went to the back of the dressing room and saw two mortal enemies playing poker together. In the back of the room where all the wrestlers hang out, they're all friends of buds because they're playing characters who don't like each other. You know, and he was just so angry that he learned the truth, you know, because it's like Dallas, but on the wrestling mat, you know, it's like when Harry or Sleepless in Seattle, but on the wrestling mat. Yeah.
It's actually very Shakespearean. It always comes down to good versus evil. It always comes down to, you know, they always said that the greater talent is playing the bad guy.
Yep.
Because the bad guy. Yeah, because they're the ones that drive more visceral reactions from the crowds. So,
The horsemen, John. The horsemen. I hated the horsemen. Those damn horsemen. And then when they win, and then they get mean, they hit the chair to the good guy. I remember Mr. Wrestling spazzing out on the wrestling mat.
Theater.
Yes, theater. Theater.
Very
okay,
much
so we
theater.
Got way off track.
Okay, sorry.
Feel free to stick around. So, Linda McMahon, I did not know she had a big head. Strong woman. That's a woman that's not only a strong woman who's a billionaire, she's that old blue collar strong. She would have slapped John Sosa herself. You know, Sarah Huckabee. People used to always crack on her looks, and I'm like, fine. But she went on her own to become governor. You know, Kimberly Guilfoyle before she became what she's become. But she was a prosecutor. She made her way after divorcing Newsom on her own with her kid, went to Fox, made something herself. Sage Steele. We saw Sage Steele. She took on ESPN and won. You know, obviously Tulsi Gabbard destroyed. Tulsi Gabbard, nobody will ever change my mind, but to me, she ended Kamala's presidential run the first time. Ivanka Trump, it's not Don Trump Jr. that is the anointed one to take over. Trump chose Ivanka. And then there's Alveda King. People forget about her. She's the niece of Martin Luther King. It's like the whole family's against her because she's conservative, believes in church and God and things like that, where the other ones have gone full-blown leftist at times. So, gee, I didn't get your comment. So you hear him talking about strong women or Mark Cuban, that he has no strong women surrounding him. What are your thoughts?
Well, I respect Mark Cuban a lot, and the problem is when you become political or you join a side, right, then you kind of get into this fog of cognitive dissonance, and I think that's where he's struggling with right now is, you know, Kamala doesn't want to tax unrealized gains when she's clearly come out and said it several times that she does. So I think this is another case of – I think he's trying to say anything just to have her win. So – interestingly enough, I saw on X today that the Kamala campaign is probably pulled him off the circuit. So I don't think we're going to be seeing much of Mark Cuban now. And that's the rough world of politics. You jump in, you join a side, you're going to get beat up. And, you know, I don't think people know what his businesses are. But, you know, if he was running a very, like, famous business, I mean, you risk, like Elon, you're going to risk losing half your people, right? Half your customer base. Elon's willing to take that risk, and it looks like Mark Cuban is too. So I don't think we'll be seeing much of Mark until election's over. Oh, you're on mute.
Big John, any comments on strong women in Linda McMahon? I know you had a deep crush on her.
Linda McMahon?
Well, I'm kidding.
Oh, I didn't know. I don't know if you want one. I'll answer it because Linda.
No. Go ahead. Tell us about your crush on it.
Linda McMahon is actually a very complicated person if you're a feminist, especially because On the one hand, she was very strong. Everyone gives her credit for that, even the insiders. She did run for office. She did run for the Senate out of Connecticut. She lost, I think. She was appointed to a cabinet position under Bush, right?
I thought it was Trump.
Wasn't she the Secretary for Small Business or something like that?
Yeah. It wasn't like an official cabinet. It was like one of those, she was leading the charge on one of the.
I think she might have been in charge of something. Anyway, my point is she clearly is a smart woman. She's clearly a strong woman. But at the same time, she's clearly a bit of a sycophant. I mean, she was well aware of her husband's picadillos. She was well aware of his illegal activities. She put up with it. She stayed with him. Obviously, they're still married despite everything that's come out about him over the years. So how much of it, you know, it's like Hillary Clinton. For all her feminist crap, she stayed married to someone she clearly doesn't want to be married to for years because that was her path to power, right? So, I mean.
Yeah, but John, I think it's apples and oranges only because you're right. I agree with you. But there's still no thing. I know Hillary, but that's a strong damn woman. Kamala Harris, all her flaws, but she knew what it took and was able to execute becoming the nominee without getting one vote.
Well, the thing about Cuban's comment on what G said, I think it was I'm not going to make excuses for Cuban, but I think what he was trying to say is that, or at least the way I interpreted it, was that Trump doesn't value people with either, I think, overt intelligence or people who are going to stand up to him. He values people. He values loyalty above everything else. And after his first term, after all the perceived betrayals, and I say perceived on Trump's part, right now, the second to go around, he just wants loyalists. He doesn't care necessarily whether they're giving him straight advice, decent advice, better advice, worse advice. He wants loyalists. He wants people who are not going to write tell-all books about him. He wants people that, you know, if he picks up the phone and says, find me 11,000 votes, they're not going to give him the Constitution as an answer, right?
Right. No, you're right, John. But look at
that's what he meant, I think. I think that's what he meant.
No. Cuban did not mean he doesn't have the capacity right now. He's so clouded. But I know what John is saying. Where I would deviate, where it's like I don't come fully on board, is that one woman he hired for like the top construction gig, and she turned up in the first campaign.
Oh, really? I didn't know.
Yeah, he hired. She was a woman.
Omarosa?
No. Before her, when he was starting his construction, company, she was the best one in charge. He gave her a shot. It turns out he has a history of giving a lot of women. Now, John's right. They want loyalists, but Trump has that mob mentality. He comes from the construction firm where you have to deal with the mob in certain ways because they control a good chunk of that business. And loyalty is the number one trait there. I like that too, and I told that to John. I'd rather work with somebody who's less talented, who's going to be loyal to us, understand, and is willing to work with us versus some prima donna who's going to be gone in 6 months and is just going to use us. So, and I think that's kind of – so I agree with John, but I deviate a bit from that. All right, let's move on here.
I'll jump off. Have a good rest of the show.
I got to know, though, William and G, what do you guys think of Melania?
Who? Oh, Melania, look. You want to know what I honestly think?
Yeah,
I don't know a lot about her, but you're not a dumb woman to know five languages. You're not a dumb person to rise to the top of your craft. Here's the thing. Oh, she's just a pretty face. That's why she made it. No, there's 10 zillion pretty faces. So you got to have some smarts about yourself. You know, so the fact that she's one of the few illegal aliens I kind of appreciate.
Well, no, I was just saying because you didn't have her name on the list.
She's married to him. You know,
okay.
But you're right, five languages, if I'm correct. She speaks five languages. I mean, users do not learn. I speak both because I grew up. If I had to learn a language, I'd be screwed. All right, let's move on here. Can you hear that?
I can't.
No.
No.
How about now?
No, I can't.
Yeah, that's
what did he say?
Garbage. The garbage. And I just realized I know why you couldn't hear it. It's because it's what G and I ran into because I quickly brought it up. It was a comment he made on garbage. He called Trump supporters garbage to the audience. And then they had the audacity to try to lie. Oh, no, no, it's an apostrophe. You know your campaign is going badly for Democrats when the AP comes out and says, Biden, according to a transcript prepared by the official White House stenographers, told the Latino group on a Tuesday evening video call, the only garbage I see floating out there is his supporters. His demonization of Latinos is unconscionable and it's un-American. The transcript released by the White House press office, however, rendered the quote with an apostrophe, reading supporters, which aides said pointed to Biden criticizing Hinchcliffe. That, to me, was jumping through hoops to try to make the obvious not look so obvious. Gee, let's start with you.
I read a tweet saying Trump's playing 4D chess. He got this comedian to come on, make this joke about Puerto Rico, and bait Biden into making this gaffe. Now, obviously, I don't believe that because that's just you can't make that stuff up. But whatever fallout that Trump was going to have over the comedian making a joke, and it was a joke, and it was a stupid joke, and the audience booed and had a very mixed reaction. I think some chuckled, but most were not impressed by Tim's joke. Whatever potential fallout Trump might have had with that, Biden completely erased that. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting is Biden went on TV at the same time Kamala was having her big closing argument speech. Why would he do that? Why would he go on at the same time? Why isn't he just, you know, pouring himself a glass of wine and watching this big speech? Because he wants to undermine her. That's what I believe. And then I don't think he meant to say this. He just totally went into senility mode and said it, and that's what he believes in his heart. I do believe that he thinks people who would ever vote for Trump are a bunch of garbage.
I agree. Let's see if you can hear it. Tell me if you can hear it. Can you hear that?
No.
That's odd. I did it properly this time. So, we just can't bring – I got to bring the videos up. Through the different method. Miss Annette, what are your thoughts when you hear us called Annette? You are garbage.
I guess Biden still running the country? Every time I see him out there, I think, do they want him to get off? I think that they're actually cringing when he's out. You know, he's like, oh, I'll be on the campaign trail, and I think everyone's like, please don't do it, don't be out there. What do I think about that? I don't know. I think at this point, it's just sad for me. I don't get fired up.
Not for you. It's sad to all the country. I mean, look at that.
No.
That is our president.
William, we know, but that is sad though. And it's sad. Look at the state of dementia that he's in. He's had a lot of really difficult moments on camera over the last week. I don't know if you've seen them, but not just calling all of us garbage. And I know we're deplorables and everything else, but come on. We know that the country is that divided. I don't know if you guys were ever concerned about that because these are very divisive words, right? That what's going to happen on Tuesday? Like, literally, I think no matter who wins, it's a concerning moment.
I think this time we're going to be prepared. I don't think the left is going to get away with the rioting and all that. I think if they go into somebody's neighborhood, they're going to be facing neighbors with sticks versus those neighbors letting them burn the neighborhood down. I think you're seeing a shift. And why does that happen? It's the economy, stupid. When people are being told that they're righteously right, and the other side can't pay their bills, the other side's finally going to take up arms. History has shown this over and over, that people can only take so much. All right, let us move on here to Representative Dingell.
He wants to deport Muslims, and he wants to start internment camps. And that's what we are busy talking to every voter. He's telling you what he's going to do. Believe him.
Internment camps?
Yes. They just talked internment camps. You know what, Dick? You may have to visit me in one. I get worried enough when he talks about what he's going to do to his political enemies.
That's somebody who's unhinged to me. That's just a blatant lie. Your thoughts on that? This is the the stretch run, the final stretch to before election day. This is what they're coming out with. To me, that reeks of desperation. Annette.
Oh, wait, why that makes me so, no, that makes me so angry, because that's what they did. They're the ones who weaponized the DOJ against their political opponents. That's what I'm, that, you're right, it's so disgusting, and it's outrageous, and it's just, like you said, it's just an absolute lie, but what is that, the bigger the lie, the more people will believe it, something like that.
Yeah, no, I agree. Gosh, I hope we don't get copyrighted for that.
I'm sorry, from what I said?
Yes, no, the video. That's the one, her name is, you know, what I don't like about her, G, she inherited her father's seat. Her husband's seat, who'd been there for like 80 years, and then he died and she took the seat. And it's, she didn't win off her own ability, but off the family name. And that's why I enjoy calling her, it's not Dingo, but Dingleberry. Your thoughts on Dingleberry?
I mean, it's ridiculous, and the rhetoric is getting more and more extreme, and it's disturbing to hear. I don't think Trump's going to do that. And I think this weaponization of the government started with Obama.
Yes.
If you remember, in 2011, all these conservative groups, and I forgot the status that they were trying to achieve, so they could fundraise, the Tea Party groups, he blocked all them until after the election. And then then approve them. And it's like, okay, well, that might have tipped the scales to Romney, right? So, you know, it started with Obama. They got away with it. And, you know.
Well, hold on, G. What did they use to sit there and not criticize Obama? If you said something, you were what?
A racist.
Yeah.
That's racist. Right. A racist.
Yeah.
All right. Let us move on to. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Okay. You already come. Okay. Let us move on to the final one in terms of Whoopi Goldberg, which was talking to Cuban on that same show when the Republican brought up. You know, it worked against Hillary when she called him deplorables. Whoopi Goldberg jumps in. Well, they are deplorables. You know, like, you're not helping your cause, Whoopi. Have another burger. Yeah. All right. Kamala.
Wait, can I say one thing about Whoopi really quickly? That was another point are we going to talk about Whoopi or no?
No, go ahead.
That was the one point on the Joe Rogan show, though, that was really interesting when Donald Trump said, just 2 years ago, she was hugging me in The View. They all loved me. They were so excited to have me on.
That's right. So, and it shows he didn't change. They changed.
Yes.
All righty. Now, again, this is the run-up to election day here. I don't believe we should be assassinating our people. We need to bring our words in. We need to yada, 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 yada.
Donald Trump's not done. He would ban abortion nationwide. Yes, even here in Pennsylvania, if he were successful.
Scare tactics.
He would restrict access to birth control.
That was this week.
IVF treatments at risk.
What?
And force states to monitor women's pregnancies. Just Google Project 2025. Read the plans for yourself.
She's lying.
And let us agree, one does not have to abandon their faith or deeply held beliefs to agree. The government shouldn't be telling people what to do.
It's like everything she said is projecting. Meaning, she tell people who actually have faith, you're in the wrong, you're in the wrong spot, wrong place. You know, government not telling us what to do. She wants government to tell us what to do, from free expression to putting pro-lifers in jail. Pro-lifers just went to jail, last week or this week. You know, Project 2025 is nothing to do with Trump, you know, so it's like everything she said there, sounds to me like a woman who is unhinged. And he's going to be Hitler. He's a fascist. This is why morons out there who lose it, their heads explode because they hear this drivel and they believe it, go and grab a gun and say, I got to take this guy out and think they're going to be a hero versus being put in a mental institution. Gee, let's start off with you before we get
The only thing left she has to say to repeat Hillary's campaign is, why am I not 50 points ahead?
Yeah!
someone on The View actually said that for her. Like, why isn't she further? No. It was Michelle Obama in her speech. She's like, why isn't she further ahead? Why is this race still so close? And the reason why the race is still so close is, I mean, in the popular vote, you're going to run up the margins in L.A. and New York. That's why it's close. Yeah. And it's just
and Michael should have known that. Michael should have known that.
Now,
I'm going to go there.
I think their desperate tactic now is shaming us. Shaming the people who are not going to vote for Kamala. Doesn't that feel like that's what Michelle Obama was doing, was shaming us? Like all of the words that she used. It was like,
no, you're right. I mean,
so disappointed in you people. That's how she was talking about you.
Right. Michael and Barack have both tried to shame us.
Yeah. It's all right. The brothers. The brothers here, they can't stand the fact that there will be a woman in charge.
Oh my God.
And then Michael, maybe the brother would say, I'll take another man in there. I just can't help. I love cracking on her because it drives Democrats up a wall. You know? All right. Our final topics here. The Washington Post and the LA Times are two of the three biggest papers, which says a lot. The LA Times is really a shell of itself. The two biggest papers being the Times and the Post. So the Post makes the big news that they're not going to endorse anybody. And Jeff Bezos was right. He goes, look, all endorsements do is show a perception of who we really want to win, and they don't convince anybody. Well, Jeff, the fact that your paper's 1,000% leftist and lies, that kind of helps create that perception. So to me, his endorsement is on the right path, but it's like, yeah, there's, you got 10 zillion other things to fix, Bezos over there. But I still thought it was a good sign in terms of him at least realizing your paper's worthless. Nobody cares about it. That's what he was saying in a way. You know, we'll start with Gene, then we'll get to missing that. And in general, and real quick, this is not something new. What's new is it's the Washington Post. That's what's new, because the Wall Street Journal never has. The USA Today traditionally has it. I think they did a couple for Hillary or Biden, one of those two. They had TDS. The Journal, Atlanta Journal. Constitution stopped in 2012. The Chicago Sun-Times stopped in 2012, and the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. So a lot of them have stopped because they were losing customers, and they wanted to show that they wanted to pretend to show they don't have any favorability. Gee.
Yeah, I was watching a podcast by Trish Regan earlier today, and she referenced an article in the New Yorker, and the article was saying that if Trump wins, it's going to show that the traditional media has died. Right, because they can no longer, and am I going to get the quote exactly right, but they can no longer affect people's perception of the candidates, meaning spit out propaganda, especially left-wing propaganda. So when Trump goes on Joe Rogan, he bypasses all of them, and he goes straight to the people, right, which is what Ronald Reagan did. He went straight to the people. So it's going to show that alternative forms of media like X, podcasts, YouTube videos is going to be more popular than reading the New York or the Washington Post or the New York Times or LA Times. So I think what they're seeing, like Jeff Bezos, is saying, look, we need to be more neutral, right? And maybe that's what's the good that's going to come out of all this is the papers will try to be more neutral. I'll give props to CNN. They are more, I think, even hitting for both sides than they have been in the past, and definitely more than MSNBC, which is definitely just a mouthpiece for the DNC. So, you know, I think CNN, I watched some of their stuff, and it's like, hey, I'm surprised they reported that. And I will say Jake Tapper, I mean, as left-wing as he is, he was listening to Dingell, and is that Dingell or Dingleberry? But Dingell.
Dingleberry's close enough.
Okay. And you could tell by, I mean, his lips were like, you know, he's pushing his lips together in this like mix of wanting to laugh and thinking that she's completely ridiculous. So, you know, I think that's what that's basically what the traditional media is going is. I think it's going to be more fair to draw people back in.
So G brought up a good point, Mr. Nat, and I wanted to add to that from this perspective. I think Tapper was like rolling his eyes because it's like, you're going too far. This was too unbelievable, and you're hurting my regular lies that I tell Danny. Now they're not going to believe me now. And no, really, it's so over the top. It's something like, yes, this side always lies, always lies. Look what Dingleberry said. And that's how they can approach it. So it hurts. Jake Tapper lies. Aaron Burnett lies. You know, whoever else lies. You know, I really think that it doesn't help the cause like she thinks. It's not like Representative Dingle's smart anyway. I just view her as she's not dumb, but she's above her weight class in being a representative. What are your thoughts overall with the papers not endorsing?
Well, here's the thing about the Post. They were crying so much about that. You saw it on MSNBC. But how in the world did they know who they were going to endorse? They were, right? It was a given that it was going to be Kamala, because obviously that's why they were
pretty
so
much.
Upset. You know, and I get that because we all get the bias, right? But when they decided to just be neutral, they threw a hissy fit. Didn't somebody even like resign and couldn't even work at the paper anymore because of it?
Yes. Yes, I mean, yes. And you know what? God bless them. At least they have some cojones to resign over their beliefs, right or wrong. So wait, I applaud them on that.
You mean it's their belief that the paper must make a stand? That's their belief that they're...
Yes, yes. What I'm saying is there's too many people in this... Politicians are the worst. I take responsibility. Really? You're still collecting a check. You haven't changed. You're still doing what you do. At least they resigned and stuck to their beliefs. So, but I wonder how many of them have jobs lined up already. So I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. My only point was I like the unbiased. I like the papers not – I agree, letting the voters decide. You know, I read all of these different papers that this maybe used to make an opinion and endorse a candidate and decided not to do that anymore and let the people decide for themselves. I love this approach. What really shocked me more about it than them not doing it was the response. And I guess I'm speaking mostly of Mika Brzezinski, and I watched them on MSNBC. Like, literally, I thought they were going to start – their outrage was coming out of the screen and, you know, privately tears and all. I was just like, wow.
I agree.
Democracy dies in darkness. I heard that like 8 times over this.
That's like the hypocrisy.
And that, just remember, they caught in a hidden camera one of the MSNBC producers saying that they're just a front for the DNC. That's all.
Pretty much.
He admitted it.
Pretty much. So, Gene, to let you know, in terms of Joe Rogan, that's approximately 20% of the country. He's got like over 60 million visitors followers across his platforms. Now, I don't know how many of them are doubled up, et cetera, et cetera. But still, that's super bogus, like 80 million, 90 million. You know, on a great year, maybe 100 million, 120, but for the most part, right around 80, 90 million. Joe Rogan does that on a daily basis. So you're right. As Reagan did, he completely bypassed it. And see, my kicker before we move on to the final topics here, is Kamala tried to dictate to Rogan, the guy with the biggest one. His I'm a Hope podcast, she went on, whatever that girl's podcast, Alex, whatever. She only has 6 million.
Call Your Daddy?
Yeah, Call Me Daddy.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Call Me Ho, Call Me Dad. That's how I view all those leftist women. Really, they are. It's like they're their own worst enemy. Leftist women support trans, support men destroying their sports. They support the destruction of what is one of the most beautiful things that every leftist woman who has a kid, they take away from themselves. It's like they're morons. It's like, just get on board with wanting to have a win-win, have be the best of both worlds, have a career and be a mother. You know, you can do both. It's not one or the other. You know, and if you choose one or the other, that's fine. But I just look at these leftist women, and they're young. My mom had a saying, learn how to wipe your butt before you tell me how to live my life. And I see these 20-year-old kids. I see these 20-year-old girls trying to tell me this is where you're right or wrong. And it drives me. It's not just women. Anybody that young.
Right.
You know, I've never forgotten. As crude as that sounds, I'm like, I understand exactly what she meant by it. You know? But with that said, the final few topics here, which run in conjunction with this, is voter fraud. I want to do an update on this. An update. This is just this past week. There was a non-citizen that was allowed to vote. Chinese national. The only reason they caught him was because he asked for the ballot back and they tracked him down with ID and all that. He's going to be charged 2 counts of fraud. Here's the kicker. What about his ballot? Somebody asked. Well, it's in the system. There's no way to get it out. That is what, remember what
Jamie said.
Jamie said.
Yes.
It's once the vote's in the system, it's next to impossible, if not impossible. And that is exact reason. That's why I don't like these mail-in ballots. So speaking of mail-in ballots. Look at how many ballots she has. See, that was a stack. A stack of ballots. Look at that. She's stuffing them in. Look at that. So many.
The fact that what I've read that they're more concerned with who needs to put it.
Here comes number 10.
Than what was taking place in the service. And I'm here as a resident of Bridgeport, not as a candidate.
Now, on the Bridgeport, I researched the Bridgeport for my first podcast on voter fraud. Those were like two or three individuals they busted there.
But any candidate that lost or won should be upset at what took place.
Now, my issue is you can take, like, I take my wife's ballot with me. So it's okay. But when you have a whole handful and you have illegals, when they go to the DMV here in California, and they're automatically registered to vote because the voting through the registration through DMV is tied. They've had lawsuits again that have gone nowhere. And there's a case for 12 ballots. Well, wait, it's only 12. That's not what we know of. Use your by 10 rule, you know, and exponentially grow it. And there's more about, they were intercepted and they were, somebody else voted for them. This is a problem. This is a problem. Michigan, we talked about this an episode or two ago. The GBI Strategies, the big company that was busted with like 14,000 ballots. The Secretary of State that was appointed by the Democrat. Oh, there's nothing to see here. But we did send it to the FBI. 2 years later, the FBI still has not come out with their findings. When they get asked, they have a no comment. The ballot box tampering and loss of missing ballots was in that district. Mesa County, Colorado, despite, was another one, ballot drop boxes, they caught something to do with it with being with fraud and fraudulence. Then you have this. That's a ballot box on fire.
When?
Look at that, this past week. Look at that. They're trying to salvage that. They will actually go and try to salvage those votes. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, but that's what they're trying to do. Because this is not the first time. That is not the first time that has happened. Again, am I saying there's voter fraud? Yes, personally, I believe it. On a court, I sit there saying, I don't know because the evidence is so difficult to prove. Once those ballots are in there and counted, and let me remind you, in Philadelphia in 2020 and in Georgia with the Pipers, they kicked the Republicans out. And it was just because he who controls the registrar's office controls how it's counted. You know, Broward County has had a history. So this is not something I'm pulling out my tush. I'm not pulling a dingleberry here. You know, so, and this isn't just Democrats, it's both sides. People don't understand the rhino class that is supported by the Chamber of Commerce is not for small business. It's not for my company, other companies. It's for big corporate business that wants illegals here for the cheap labor, specifically the farming industry and the, what's the restaurant industry, Angie? What's that industry?
Hospitality.
Hospitality. That's right. That's right. You go to Chicago and it's all Latinos working the hotels. It's all Latinos working in Vegas. So yes, the hospital, they want illegals, you know? So the Secretary of State in Texas, who is a Kay Baxter, is that her name? Big John, the ex-senator, a Kay Baxter rhino. Here's what she told the poll workers.
I asked, who's actually the director of elections for the Secretary of State. And she said, yes, they are out there, they know they're out there. On the face of it, it's an indication this person.
He's talking about non-citizen IDs.
The response from the Secretary of State's office is, you have to vote them as person was not a citizen when they got their driver's license, but became a naturalized citizen, registered to vote, they still don't have any driver's license.
So what they're saying is, whether it's a non-citizen license or not, you got to count it because that person may or may not be an actual citizen. Again, the chain of custody. There's no way to prove it. It's another way to cheat. All this opens the door for fraud. We saw the 2,500 ballots, the 14,000 ballots in 2020. This is not something that we are making up. This is a real problem. And what is the excuse Democrats give? It's the same excuse Martha Raddatz gave about the Aurora gangs taking over hotels. It's only a few hotels. It's only a minuscule amount. First of all, we don't know how many because I have researched this. There has not been an official study done by anyone statewide, I mean nationwide, on how big voter fraud is. And they don't want one done. I mean, look what the citizens are exposing on X alone. You know? So, like her or not, Laura Trump was smart in recruiting nearly 3,000 poll watchers from nationwide. And this isn't every registrar's office. For example, the one in San Diego, the reputation was said to be very well run. But it's still no excuse to take weeks to count the ballots. So these are, here's another one. I'm not sure you guys can see that, but let me make it bigger. You see that voter ID? You see that big old long thing? That's the same voter ID number with all these different ballots. I had two ballots sent to me. It was for a primary but I changed in 2015 from independent to Republican. The last election cycle, 2022, I got a independent primary ballot, which I found impossible to get. And they told me, oh, that's a test ballot. And I'm like, okay. And I believe them, but I'm like, what the hell am I as an independent receiving a primary ballot for the Republicans when I as an independent should not be receiving a Republican primary ballot because an independent is not a Republican. In our primaries, you receive or used to be the case. I can't quite remember, but I called them up. And my point is, even if this was accidental, it's happening, you know, but that's one person, you know.
Where did you get that, William? This is all 2024.
My research.
Wow.
Well, all this is public information. This is all public information. You can go get it. But see, that's just it. There's this lady at Red State called Jen Levar. She has broken. She's the one who forced Romney's niece to resign. She exposed how they were spending the money. Why? Because she wasn't lazy. She just went and researched the public information and saw because they have to put down where they spend the money. But in our journalistic era, nobody wants to actually be a journalist and research. They just want to sit there and I'm a journalist. Hear me speak. You know? I mean, think about it. Woodward and who was the other bum?
Bernstein.
Woodward and Bernstein. They didn't research anything. Deep Throat went to them. They weren't these great reporters. Deep Throat went to them because they were part of the Washington Post. They didn't discover Deep Throat. Hell, you know, it's you know, so I was a journalist by maybe Big Johnson knows the term, de facto. Every event I went to in sports, I went as media. I interviewed people. I taught myself. We broke a few stories. I worked with journalists. I know all about that world just through absorption. I didn't need a degree. And the one thing I would always tell my guys, do not embellish squat when it comes to data or these stories. And if we heard something, before we would print it, we'd call others to source it. Now, a handful of times, there were times, oh, God, we got to make a decision. Nobody else has this story, but it's legit to us, you know, and very rarely we would run with it. But it's not hard to verify this, Annette. Annette, your thoughts on all of this?
Okay. The people that are stuffing all those ballots in there, I mean, could that be like for people who can't get
it? It could be legal for all we know. They could have gone to a retirement home, just gotten everybody's ballots.
I did think of that. I mean, it's possible. I mean, I guess you're saying that could be. That was what I thought when I saw that. But until, we're not on this episode, but we talked about, and that was like this most of the bulk of the show was the voter fraud and all the different incidences that have been proven. So that was like an eye-opening episode for me, because it is something that I always thought, well, they would be able to, like, even for the 2020 election that has been, you know, disputed and continues to be come up in all these conversations. I'm like, well, they would be able to prove it, though. Like, they would have been able to go to those counties, and they say in all of those counties that Trump didn't win. So, you know what I'm saying? So I guess what I'm saying to you is, for me, just being into politics, fairly new into politics, it's something that I always had the faith that we had a free and fair election. So maybe that's a little bit of naivete on my part, because that was I learned a lot from that.
It's not just you, Annette. Americans, I'm an American citizen, but I was raised in a different country. So when I look at America, I see it differently. And I'm like, y'all Americans, and I am an American, so I'm not hypocritical, but maybe it's odd for me to look at it this way. But there's times I look at America as an outsider with, my God, don't get what you're letting go. In terms of, I'm in 30 some odd countries. Not one of them matches up to everything this country can do for you as an individual, whether it's choosing where to live, what kind of weather to live, what job you want, whether you want to go to college, whether you're an entrepreneur without the roadblocks, at least back in the day. Like right now, Big John will tell you too. When he and I started the fantasy sports industry, there was nothing stopping us. Now there's 10 zillion regs out there, you know, that stop us. You know, and that it doesn't stop you technically, but I don't have $50,000, you know, to start a business, you know, that I would need now, you know, and I may be exaggerating the cost, but when I started my business, I didn't have a pot to pee in, as my dad would say. I had a credit card. My wife and I had credit card. You know, that's how we started it. I had saved up money for the military. We had used that too to go through there, but I didn't have that type of cash flow, you know, and God bless women. That's when I learned, researching for entrepreneurs, I was like, holy man, the women are screwed. The percentage of women I saw that build and start businesses with credit cards, and we're one of the good countries. So even though it's much harder for women, women here still had it much easier than, say, Panama or Puerto Rico or wherever else. So my point is yes, Annette, you being a bit naive is not shocking to me. It's not good or bad. It's, we just make a lot of wrong assumptions about what we have. The worst, those wrong assumptions lead us to believe that shit don't happen here as we lose it. Where 20 years from now, not your kids, but your kids, your grandkids, are going to be living in a completely different world. Gee, I'm sorry.
Saying don't take it for granted is what you're saying.
Damn because right.
It could be slipping away.
Damn right. Gee.
Yeah. If there's one, like this guy in Michigan, the illegal immigrant, the Chinese.
I think that was Chinese.
Foreign exchange student. So if there's one, there could be 10,000. There could be a million, right? And that the fact that he, I believe it's a he, yeah, his vote, he submitted it and you can't pull it out, right?
If
a million people do it, you can't pull it out. Like, it's like, okay, you're making raisin bread, but a few turds got in there, but you still got to eat the bread, right?
Yeah, so now, and to take it one more step, if this isn't related to voter fraud, but this is how things we take for granted. The Chinese national government will rent out hotels, and they'll ship women to this country, put them in a hotel, they give birth, and even though it's not law, but it's been assumed to be law, those anchor babies become citizens. Thus, they have their plants already in this country from day one. That's not a Tom Fancy novel. That has actually happened and still happens. So my point is we're not in what's infallible. I mean, anything can happen. To me, once you allowed mail-in ballots, the door opened to voter fraud happening. And to me, if there's too many red flags, but the kicker is what Jamie Miller said. Because I didn't see it from his point of view, but it's so true. It's next to impossible to prove, especially once that ballot. And he's an operative. He knows how the system works. So I don't care if you're a lawyer. I don't care if you're a Democrat or Republican, a TDSer, anti-Clintonite, whatever. I will believe an operative who's seen this. Jamie was in the 2000 ballot count, and he told me, he goes, William, it got to a point they were counting just a check mark near Gore's name as a Gore vote. He goes, we went from in there from trying to have a fair count to we need to stop this because they're counting every night. Again, I'll never forget on television seeing Gore was not voted for, but two Democrats below Gore. So they said, we assume they just forgot to vote for Gore. No. To me, one, they didn't vote. There's no check mark. There's nothing that's not a vote for Gore. And two, you don't assume. See, assuming is only done when you want to be seen your way. Yeah, and that's what assumptions do.
Well, if we can pass the national voter ID law, that would be wonderful. I just don't see it happening. But I'm looking at this chart on Ballotpedia. 35 states do require an ID. And I'm looking at this, maybe 8 don't require a photo ID, but just an ID. But it's all pretty much the liberal states that require no ID. You could just show up.
Right.
And it's like, okay, then, I mean, how do you prevent someone who's not qualified, meaning a citizen, to vote? I mean, how do you prevent that? You can't, right? And so right. To Annette, to your point, okay, so they're ballot harvesting, but who knows who actually filled in the bubbles, right? Mm-hmm. You go to a nursing home, and they're like, oh, I got to – honey, I put down Donald Trump. That's who I'm voting for. And the lady's like, okay, Kamala. Right?
See, but here's the kicker with that. I did not have time to research it today, but I found 3 articles that talk about the perfect vote, meaning they were hundreds of ballots. And it was as if they'd been run through a machine. They were the scribbling was perfect, as if it was run through a machine. And the names were all similar, meaning somebody had those ballots already filled out by machine and was just writing their different names on it. So I wasn't able to fully get into that story.
Geez.
So and again, when you have non-citizens or illegals, I'm getting tired of that. Non-citizens, illegal immigrants, you know, illegal aliens by definition. When you have them being put into the system and receiving ballots, you're fucked. Because, and then you add what Jamie said, once it gets in there, look, take it from somebody who has seen this crap in Panama. You know, and I never saw it directly, meaning I'd be in Panama and be voting in the election season once, and you hear the stories. She says, because I couldn't vote in the Panamanian elections, what I'm trying to say. You know, but it's like rampant over there. You saw it with Noriega. I saw Noriega win by landslides every time. We see it with Maduro. You know, they say that the woman who ran against Maduro got 60% of the vote. According to Maduro, he won 51%. Yeah, he who gets the vote.
But we can't go back to not using mail-in ballots except for people that are overseas.
Oh, it's like G said, we can. But how did you? You know what? Let me take a step back. Maybe, and here's why. You look at Black America right now. They're growing more and more savvy to the fact that, damn, these white liberals think I'm stupid.
Yeah.
You know, I haven't shown it, but I'm going to do a podcast on it. There's a video by Ami Horowitz, and you should watch it. I'll send you the URL. He's in L.A. or New York. He's in, I know he goes to Harlem, but I can't remember where he goes up to the white people, where he goes up to the white people. And they're all young, middle-aged, and he goes, I see you, a big producer. We're going to close it out here. he goes, what do you think? Well, they're talking about blacks. You know, they some of them don't know how to get online. Another person, well, you know, they may not know where the DMV is at. Well, no, I swear to God, that's what they were saying on this video. Well, you know, yeah, in essence, what they were saying is, black people are so stupid. I have to help them out. So I'm going to use my power in politics or as a man on the street to help make sure that they don't have to show ID because they just too dumb and poor. You know, so then they go to Harlem and he's asking them. This one lady says, no, I have a point to this. Honestly, I do. Then he shows these black New Yorkers the video. And one guy actually starts to look around. Am I on candid camera? You know, like, it was so preposterous, you know. And a couple of them were kind of, oh, this isn't racism, it's ignorance. To the young kids, maybe, because they're indoctrinated to believe that. But not to the older ones. There comes a point where I'm like, you got to look in the mirror. You're old enough not to understand, to critically think. So don't give me this, I didn't know. You should know. And to me, that video should be shown by every Republican candidate running and taking to every black district or Latino district. Because see, they've run out of blacks because of Roe versus Wade. Over 30 million babies have been aborted since it was implemented. 30 plus million. Think about that. So they brought in the Latinos. It's not the immigrant Latino that votes for them. They tend to be conservative. It's the illegal ones who are on the government dole from day one. That's what they want their new base. So they were shocked when they couldn't convert us because we're like America. We're very diverse. We're white, black, yellow. Yeah. There's Chinese Latinos, and guess what? They speak Spanish too. You know, it's so they complete their stereotyping miscalculated us. But that's true. So yes, maybe it can change. That was my big hope for the internet. That's why they want to take control of the internet. That's why they want to curb our free speech. They don't want blacks at their core. They don't want mostly blacks and Latinos, but they don't want anybody who they have the power to indoctrinate to actually learn the truth. How many times do we see in movies at the end of the movie uploaded to the internet and ooh, the good guys win and save the world. We no longer need fuel. We have water for Keanu Reeves because he uploaded it to the internet. The Apple thing, it's gone. You know, that's a reality of it. It's like a 90-pound woman in a fight in the movies. Pow, 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 and the 300-pound man goes down, you know, in real life. Pow, and that woman's unconscious in a coma for the rest of her life, you know. So anyway, final words from you two on tonight's topics, on anything. And then we'll start with you. Words of wisdom to people before they go vote.
What final words of wisdom on which the voting?
Anything. in relation to the upcoming Tuesday. So yes, I'm voting.
Yeah, go out there and vote. That's for sure. I don't even know what to say. I mean, say a prayer for me, William, that I get it, that I persevere. And I think it's going to be an interesting night. Are we going to do our podcast?
No, only because we'll talk about that offline, but only because there's 10 zillion of them going on. But we could maybe Big John suggested a watch party. We'll talk about that offline.
Okay. All right. Besides, go out there and enjoy your civic duty to vote. I'm praying for a fair election, a free election, an honest election.
Yeah, and I got some swampland I can sell you as prestigious.
I have to believe that the United States, our founding fathers did something really special, and I still believe in the America that their ideas are built upon. So I think this is a really important election.
They did do something special, but so is conceiving a baby. But we see how some of these kids turn out, don't we? Any final words?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just thinking about Tuesday, and, you know, the early returns will come in. What I'm reading online, I think all eyes will be on Pennsylvania. And
yes,
the early vote firewall for Democrats is normally 1 million votes in favor of the Democrat. Over 1 million in favor of the Democrat presidential candidate. And then the Republicans come in on election day and sweep through, and that's the horse race there. Currently, the Democrat advantage right now, the firewall, is 400,000. So they're running 600,000 votes plus behind what they normally need to have an election day victory. So that's looking promising. I'm looking at the early numbers in Arizona and Nevada, looking very good. I'm looking at Georgia, the early numbers for low propensity voters, meaning they voted 0 out of 4 last presidential elections.
That's a Trump
voters. That's a 900%, a 9x increase of those voters voting early for the GOP.
Yeah.
And for
they're
the
Democrats. They're scared. Like,
so people are lining up and voting. I mean, this is not, you know, over.
We're coming to a hard close here, G. I'm sorry, that 2-hour mark. So to everybody else, if a pipe bursts in Pennsylvania, we're screwed. Thank you to Gene and Annette for having our short, concise show tonight. Drag on to an hour and 59 minutes, but it was a lot of fun. Thank you, Brittany Shafik Job, for coming on. You can find this podcast and others like it at grumbleesmedia.com, as well as our social media outlets, Rumble, YouTube, Apple, Spotify, e Pandora. Do not forget to like, share, and most importantly, subscribe. I am William Del Pilar for Annette G and Big John. This has been Fired Up, and until Tuesday, after Tuesday, go vote. And until then, wish you much success and luck and bid you adieu.